What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. The season is over. We've had 18 weeks, more or less, of cricket. The ups and downs were all decided on Saturday. So Sal Manelli from North London and myself have got plenty to get our teeth into. Sal, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Dad. How's your tour of the West Coast going of the United States?
It's nearly at an end, mate. I've moved from Sin City to Las Vegas, from Sin City to Los Angeles, and the weather is still good. There would have been plenty of cricket played here on Saturday, but back to the UK on Monday and to normality. And how about you? How was your weekend? Where did you stand?
I was at Hatton Wychwell Hill, which we can come play to in Division 1, Bob Baxter.
Cool. So a game with a little bit on it. We can get to that.
Yes, sure, yes.
A bit later. I think we've got to start this week, Sal, in the Prem. There was a game yesterday that reminded me of an Arsenal match, actually. You as an Arsenal fan will remember this one. 1989, Arsenal had to
that game.
Yeah, to Anfield. It was a shootout. Whoever won, won the league title. Well, back then, the away team, Arsenal famously won 2-0.
West Ham won two clear goals down that day.
Yeah. Yeah,
just 1-0 to win. We get to win by two clear goals.
And the second goal was scored like 93rd minute by Mickey Thomas, wasn't it?
Michael Thomas, yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we had quite that level of drama at Stanmore Common yesterday, but the top two met and it was a winner-take-all contest and Stanmore came through, didn't they?
They did. So congratulations to Stanmore, everyone at the club, Ryan Gold family, lots of people there who've done lots of work behind the scenes, the ground staff, etc. So yeah, they batted first too. I think it was always a good shout in these kind of games, get the bunt on the board and put pressure on the side. Chasing, posted 271 for 9. One of the new recruits is here, Dan Driscoll. I think Dan O'Driscoll. He's in Middlesex. I'm not sure if he's moved on anyway. Fantastic innings, 132 at almost a run a ball, aided by the Ryan Gold Steven and Captain Grant, who chipped in with 46 and 30. So at 271, you're looking at a good score, but you look at North Mid's batting line, I mean, it is quite a star-studded cast almost. However, well done to the Stanmore bowlers. Just to mention Will van der Spar, he took 6 for 49 in the Stanmore innings. Addison Queen opened up, 106, so North Mid did have a chance. However, wickets kept falling and falling and falling. And in the end, it was fitting that Steve Reingold took a great catch on the boundary to dismiss James Parslow and Northwind all out for 238 in the 48th over. So we now have our Premier League champion of 2023, who are Stanmore. So as I said, congratulations, well done. I think it's the first time they've won, obviously, the Premier League format. I'm not sure they actually won the old format, but I'm sure they got close. However, it's a great achievement. You know, it's a well-run club, very family-orientated. It's all about sort of community-based as well. And they do obviously bring some great young players through. And obviously, with some good Middlesex as well, with Mark Ramprakash and Gus Fraser having played there as well. So there's some nice sort of links there. Middlesex. Yeah, so well done. And I'm sure the celebration went long into the night last night.
Yeah, no, I'm quite intrigued with their progress this season because they haven't been setting the pace all year, have they? They come through in the second half of the season. And there's been a real sort of team effort to their performance. I mean, they've obviously got the superstars, you know, the Reingolds and Dan O'Driscoll, you know, done really well. It's been a team effort, and they've been consistent when other teams have slipped up.
Yeah, they're sort of chipping away, haven't they, behind the sort of leading pack. And Northwind obviously there for quite a while. Ron have been up there as well. Ealing sort of floated up there as well for a bit. So there wasn't probably on many people's radar in terms of finishing where they finished. But as I said, the when the business end comes end of the season, they come up trumps, haven't they? So yeah, first Premier League title, Stanmore to put on there.
And I guess North Mid will be licking their wounds a bit. I'm sure they'll have taken it very well. They're a great bunch of lads, but you know they lost their last two, and they had good sides out on both occasions. And of course, looking at the table, had they won last week in week 17 against Twickenham, yesterday would have been irrelevant. They'd have been title holders already. So I guess they'll be thinking about one that got away.
Yeah, definitely. And also, they've actually ended up finishing fifth, which just shows this sort of like the nature of the season, how it's been so close. You know, you start the last 3 weeks of the season top, end up finishing fifth. So there's a real sort of like, you know, sort of build up at the top in terms of points-wise. So 98, 96, 95, 94, 92, which is unheard of, really, isn't it, Dan?
We said all the way through that it's been closed, but it's ended up close, hasn't it? Having said that, Bromsgrove have been very much in the mix, more or less all season, maybe a little bit to their own surprise, and they'll be pleased with their finish. They gave Teddington a bit of a whipping, didn't they? Finished second.
Yeah, early finish for those guys. We won by 8 wickets. So, yeah, I mean, a great season. I mean, everyone, well, not everyone, a lot of people would have thought Finch and Bron would be the two that are going to go down. But traditionally, if you come up, it's always a hard ask to sort of stay in the Prem. But they've had a great year. West Morwick has led them from the front. You know, bowled some really key skills, tipped them really valuable runs. They got some good young. I mean, what they've done, I think they recruited kind of a younger base player this year, rather than your sort of seasoned league cricketer. They've gone in for the young players, brought some of the young players through as well themselves, added a little bit of experience with Morwick and with Paver. So it looks like there's some good work going behind the scenes there as well. So second place finish for Bromsgrove is a great achievement. And again, someone they should really, really be happy with.
Yeah, I think, and I have to admit, I'm a little surprised to see them do as well as they've done. But at the same time, you know, it's not as if it's been a surprise to see them come through late. They've been consistent all season. And certainly at home, I think they've been pretty strong at home, and respect due to them for getting as close to winning the title as they have. Third place, Jebu. Well, they were impressive in week 18. And of course, their victory against Hampstead sees Hampstead join Twickenham in Division 1 next season. I guess a bit of a surprise, but certainly Jebu turned up on the down Saturday, 291 versus 204, right?
Yeah, it just goes to show you can't rest on laurels, can you, as a club? Can't take for granted that you've been a Premier League club for X amount of years and think that's going to be the future and how it is. So, you know, Hampstead obviously disappointed to go down, but it does show, send a message to other clubs as well that, you know, there's no guarantee where you can end up. Yeah, Travis Bush, 2-9-1 in their game against Hampstead. Although they were in a bit of trouble at one point, they were 30-4, so Hampstead definitely in the driving seat. But from what I gather, some drop catches, Finch and Hoof made 90, Hugo Hughes 82, which did leave Hampstead with a mountain climb. Their availability wasn't great. There was a couple of bats definitely missing, and they ended up 204 all out. Captain Mubash and Sand tried 59, but it was all in vain. So they'll be playing Div 1 cricket next season.
Yeah, I take the availability point, but I think in the cold light of day, you don't really get relegated on week 18. It's a season-long effort. I mean, we've had it before, where about a decade or so ago, we got relegated on the last day of the season when we had a Vera Duckworth-Lewis target to chase against East Coast, and we were doing it, and then the rain came after 19 overs.
Yeah,
and you know, people were seething, but you know, in the end, we were bottom because we hadn't won enough points across the whole campaign. So, I mean, I feel a bit hamstrung when you can't get your whole side out, but that's the way the cards fall, I guess. And Chetwood's Bush, they're a good side. You know, they're going to be tough to beat, even if you've got your best unit out. And it sounds like, you know, the Bush have not quite been consistent enough to win the league. But I think they should still be pretty pleased with a third place finish, right? They've done pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the last sort of, I think it's maybe 2 years at least, they've been up there in the sort of top three, challenging. The target for them now is, can they actually win the league in the next couple of years? They've got a good crop of players, good ages, and there's obviously a lot of pedigree around that club as well in terms of their history. So the plan for them would definitely be saying, can we actually now win the league in terms of where we are as a club? Because I think they're probably quite happy where they are as a club. But the next step, obviously, is having some sort of trophy to show for it.
Absolutely. See if they can go on to the next level. The other side that we'll be looking back on Saturday and thinking, crikey, that was an opportunity. And we took it, unlike, you know, the North Mids or Hampstead's, will be Finchley. Basically a great escape, Sal. No? They, I wouldn't say they were dead and buried at any point, but they've been in the bottom two for a long time. But crucially, they're not going to be in the bottom two at the end of week 18.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely not the Finchley that came up 2 years ago and went down.
They've done well, haven't they? They've done really well.
Yeah, there's a bit more sort of grit about them, a bit more sort of like hard and sort of cricket being played by the guys there. Getting some good players in their side. Went to your place and they went to the green, and then quite an easy victory, really, winning by 6 wickets. Dave Burton and Seb Bezahatchett shared 7 wickets between them, took them all out for 100. 100 can always be a tricky case, aren't it? You know, especially when it's your survival was dependent on it as well. So it was probably, you know, could be in a few nerves playing around, but they sort of got rid of those quite easy and were home inside 15 and a half overs. So I'm sure their eyes will turn to Bromley Avenue where the Bush are playing and hoping that they could actually beat Hampton, and obviously that happened. So yeah, Finch will be happy with their season. If you go looking at the points, they're only one win away from finishing in the top six almost. So just goes to show how tight it was. But yeah, 74 points ensures they survive in the Prem, and it's Hampton who go down.
Yeah. I mean, Finchley, when they didn't mess about when they, you know, when they were chasing the 100, which I think is sensible.
Yeah.
There was a couple of quick fire knocks there to get them up and running, and they didn't want to be nudging and nudging their way. And suddenly they're 30 for five, and, you know, oh my goodness, all the tension really kicks in then. So classic sort of relegated teams performance in a way. We've been brilliant the last 2 weeks. I said, beat Ealing, beat North Middlesex. Got a strong enough team out on Saturday. Rubbish. Just didn't happen. Didn't work. And no one really got going. And, you know, respect you to Finchley. They kept their powder dry, and they'll be battling away in the Prem next year.
Yeah, no, good on them. Good luck to them.
Yep, absolutely. Joining them, of course, will be Hornsey. We knew that before. And Richmond, who were at your gaff, weren't they? They played North London, and they kept their nerve as well. And they'll be returning to the Prem.
Yeah, easy win for them, actually, in the end. And what Gerald Wickett was a little bit sort of wet slightly on, but again, no excuse from my part. Much, you know, beaten by the much better side. And overall, I think Richmond probably have played a better cricket. So on the basis of that, they deserve a return to the Prem. Bowled us out for 88, catch it this time, 5 for 28. Again, it's a low total, but you've got experience with the side. Adam London, 31 off 25 balls not out, means that Prem cricket's back at Old Epynock season.
Yeah, we thought they were wobbling a bit, didn't we, at one stage? But yeah. Ultimately, they've got a bit of quality in that unit, and they've come to the party. Your boys still happy with their season, or is it one that got away?
I think it's kind of died a bit, really, in the last sort of 2-3 weeks in a good position. Obviously, it was in our hands. Yeah, look, you can always reflect on games and situations. We've had 6-0 results this year, which is probably more than most clubs.
6-0 results. That's the whole campaign. Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get 18 points for those, but yeah, you win two of those and that's another 20 points and you know where you are. So, you know, the weather's not helped us out in that regard. But, you know, said that, I think the best sides are always finishing where they should finish. So, congratulations to Richmond. No, I don't think no sad regrets on our part as a club or anyone within the club as well.
Yeah, that is, I mean, a sorry tale of wet woe, isn't it, when you're losing a third of the season. But as you say, plenty of clubs have lost games as well. So, ultimately, Hornsey and Richmond probably the best two sides, and they deserve to go up. Now, you had a close look at one of the relegation candidates yesterday. That was Winchmore Hill, right? Because you were umpiring there against Acton, and Winchmore Hill didn't come through, so they'll be going down.
Yeah, so they had to win. So they're just above and below Barnes, and they had to win to stay up. Acton chose to bat first, and I think on a wicket that does tend to favour teams batting first. James O'Neill, as we know, doesn't hang around to create a quick, and actually he scored 32, it's really important 32 in the end, actually looking at the context of the game. Tushar Patel scored 49. Him and Raj Riker added a valuable sort of partnership in the middle of the innings when Acton were sort of struggling at around 56 for 5. So all that for 166, still had 4 overs to go, so could have battered the overs out, I suppose. Winchmore found life a bit tough. Wicket was favouring sort of spin. It was quite sort of slow, hard to get away. Bit of a slow start. But it looked a decent position when there was 104 until a massive collapse, sort of collapsed to 108 for 9. One of the wickets of Jim Gatting's taken by Alex Brennan. Alex Brennan's a top guy, lovely guy, real sort of Premier League legend. You know, he's been around for a long time. Pleasure to run Prime Minister today. And he took the wicket of Jim Gatting, which is his 350th league wicket. He told me he'd been on 349 for around 6 weeks. It was sort of plaguing him and bugging him in the head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I said to him, not a bad scalp to get in Gatting that. And also, he's been playing against him since he was 12 and they had never got him out. So
get away with you. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's never got out Gatting. So obviously to get him out was good, but also to make it your 350th wicket in the league is you know, obviously even more pleasing. So yeah, well done to Alex. He joins. He's now in that, he's in that group of relief spinners who are at the top of the all-time wicket taken in the league. So he's now on 350. Second innings, Winchmore in that massive collapse, but Tipness was still back to Abe Tipness, very good player, was still in that crease. 9 down. Needed 60 to win, and he was doing a really good job actually. He was sort of like hitting boundaries, taking singles off the fifth and sixth ball be over, sort of, you know, protecting the 11th batter, Charlie Avant. But in the end, it was a bit too much. Tried to go for a big shot, got caught. So, yeah, Barnes, I'm sure, will be pretty happy with Sahil and his boys for their win against Winchmore, which means now that Winchmore will go down, Barnes stay up, and the Acton boys are sort of celebrating tonight. Karaoke. Looks like they had a good evening by some pictures I've seen, and I left them to it because I'm better off speaking on the podcast rather than seeing it at karaoke.
I was going to say karaoke, not your thing, sir.
Not my thing, but I was going to say he'll sound pretty good. Dad's got a good voice, that bloke. The drummers were pretty good as well. And also, they've got a cup final. I mean, They've got the cup final this week to look forward to as well. So there was some intensity in their play. It wasn't like, you know, it was turned up and sort of, you know, it's our last game of the season, let's chill out. You know, players want to go into games in form, having taken wickets, having scored runs. So, you know, they're well prepped for next week's final against Ealing.
Yep. And in terms of Winchell Hill, I mean, of course, they had to hope that Barnes got beat, and Barnes were playing Hornsey, and Barnes did get beat. So it wasn't Winchell Hill's own hands, right?
Yeah, Barnes lost to Champions Hornsey by 3 wickets. So, I mean, I'm not sure what time that game finished, but there was kind of little words flying around and whispers here and there. But Winchell had to win, yeah. And unfortunately, didn't. So, yeah, they go down.
And it is fascinating how last days have changed. I remember not so long ago being sent to far-flung parts of Middlesex to watch a game, so we knew what was going to happen with our opponents on the last. I couldn't play it at my foot, and you wouldn't need to do that now, would you? Yeah, like all the streams that are out there, you find out the scores very quickly.
Yeah, and also the live scores on the website, all that pool set up, it makes life really easy for knowing
it does. Well, people will find it very easy to forget how the league's professionalised, basically, and how easy it is to do more or less everything. Whereas, you know, back in the day, ringing in results to Don Shelley. Down the line, you know, talking to him about it all. I mean, my goodness, that feels like a million years ago now. Wonderful job, though, that Don did. You know, everything's a bit slicker these days. If we look at Division 2, well, Wickham House were the second name in the promotion race. They're Kenton already up. They're champions. And Wickham House came through, didn't they?
Yeah, so well done.
Scored a few runs on the way.
Yeah, Hamza Khan and his club, congratulations. Back-to-back promotions along with Kenton. Racked up 140 against Enfield. Armand Tor and Hamza both scored 50s. And then the Bistrin cameo, and this was a great knock from Dilis Pereira. 48 off 15 balls.
Not hanging about there, is he?
And 4 fours. Really gave the innings a boost towards the end if it needed one. And Enfield nowhere near the target. All up to 201. So yeah, it'll be Wickham House and Kenton who are playing Division 1 down against Wickenham and others.
Yeah, a couple of sides we haven't played for quite a while. So that'd be good. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Local.
Yeah, I mean, Wickham House is a club we've always gotten really well with. So you know, definitely looking forward to, you know, to going there, and we'll see what that brings. If we look at the bottom, well, it's Brentham and Southampstead who are heading south again. But Brentham were playing Indian Gym, tough gig. Indian Gym were still in the mix to go up, and they didn't have the greatest of days, did they?
No. So the equation was at the start of the play on Saturday morning was. Obviously, two from three. So three were East Coast, Southampton, Brentham. As you mentioned, Dan, Brentham, the ones who go down. I mean, they managed to bowl out Jim Khan from 190, which is probably a decent effort. However, batting just really found life hard. 47 all out. So big win for Jim Khan. He finished third, and it means that Brentham are going down. And they'll be joined by Southampton, despite winning their game against Wembley. Quite an early finish by the sounds of it. Were pips. It wasn't take Pip actually. They're the side that joined Brentford because Eastcote managed to win against Highgate.
Well, they kept the nerve, Eastcote, didn't they? I mean, yeah, Highgate were getting close. Yeah.
It was. It must have been a few nails being bitten away in Eastcote. They managed to. I mean, Highgate looked strong at 1.12, 1.283, chasing Eastcote. I think it was 200 in the end. And Salih Saman's found on the mound quite easily for Highgate. But they've got Yuvraj Rode overseas. He scored 63 earlier on, and he bowled out, or he took out the wicket of Saman. And then Eastcote really sort of dug in and fought back and bowled out Highgate for 184. So they are now assured of survival in Division 2.
Yeah, I can imagine they'd be pretty happy with that. I think staying up in that division will be a big thing for them, and to hold their nerve in what sounds like it was a really good game of cricket. You know, respect due to Eastcote. If we move then to Division 3, now this, as we've said, has been the tightest of all the divisions. The Prem was tight. But Division 3 was even tighter. But we did find out last week that Old Eyes would be going up. And they played Tonians this week, a side who could also go up if Lady Luck shone on them. Now, Actonians won that game, right? So Actonians did all they could to get through. But Ealing Trailfinders won another close game against Alexandra Park to snatch that second place, right?
Yeah, went 2 wicket win for a Trailfinders against AP. So a low scoring game here. AP all out for 1-2-1.
And AP could have gone up if various results had gone their way, but obviously it's not happening.
No, they need things to happen to help them out there. Yeah, 1-2-1 all out. Kadim, their post scored 53. Trailfinders, I mean, they really have to dig in here. 94 for 8, chasing obviously the total of only. They need to add at least another sort of 30 towards the end. And the pair of Juan Henry and Akab Ahmed both were heroes, chasing down the target inside 33.5 overs, 8 down. So I'm sure number 11 was getting a bit nervy, padded up, ready to come in Rohan Patel, but wasn't needed. So yeah, as you said, Dan, Keelan Shrewsbury's swift return back into Division 2.
Yep. Congratulations to those guys. It is hard to bounce back, but they've managed to do it. I did hear one story from Division 3 that was slightly, very disappointing, but definitely bonkers. Actonians turned up to play their game, and it looked like overnight someone had tried to doctor the wicket.
Yeah, we heard about this yesterday, Dan. Bob mentioned this to me as well. Yeah, yeah. Something to do with the ends, I think it was. They managed to play the game, though, so some stupid people out there don't get it.
Yeah, and I think from what I could tell, that the people who tried to doctor the wicket didn't know much about doctoring wickets, because they dug massive holes next to the stumps, but they dug them on the wrong side. So they didn't actually dig around the bit that was going to be the pitch. There were big holes that were behind the stumps, really, but just very odd thing to happen. I mean, I'm pleased that Actonians managed to get the game on and managed to win, but even then, just like some folks, eh?
Club cricket going their lives and just go and do that. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of crazy, and you reminded me of this, because SKLP are in this division. It's not actually involving their ones, but their threes were playing St Amstead threes yesterday, Sal, and I got info on this game. You know, the game itself, you know, reasonably nondescript in the great scheme of things. SKLP beat St Amstead threes, but AJ Patel got in touch with me. There were 98 extras in the SKLP threes innings, and he let me know because, of course, you know, he knows that I have a bit of an issue with the amount of wides that get bowled in club cricket. But I almost felt a bit disappointed. So, wouldn't it be good to see extras turn up?
Was it wides mainly? Or just
no, it wasn't all wides, but there were I think it was 62 wides. Wow. So yeah, extras, commiserations. Nearly your first century of the season didn't quite happen. If we look at the bottom of Division 3, only one side going down because Tower Hamlets are no longer with us, and we knew it was going to be the Middlesex Titans because they didn't play yesterday. They would have played Tower Hamlets, but they finished with 52, and they'll be in Division 4 next season. In terms of Division 4, well, Friends United screeching away at the top, although they did come a cropper yesterday. It didn't matter. They're still miles clear. And West Harrow ended up slipping into second place, and they'll be going up.
Yeah, they have a bit of a late charge from them. I mean, they do have some quality within their side. I mentioned this previously in the pod. Players have got good experience playing good levels of cricket, and Camish's side is a great example of that. Now he's actually second on the lead in wicket takers charts in the league table, on the league website. Sorry, so he certainly knows what he's doing. So yeah, they'll be really happy how they managed to get the game they missed today. Good win for those guys. It means that Besborough miss out again. I think Besborough came third last year, and they've come third again this season. So they'll be again next season looking to go one better. Yeah, so which went back to West Harrow 284/7 against the Lanka Lions. When you post that kind of score, you really got to be thinking, you know, it's our day today, isn't it? And I think it was the case for them. Runs here for Kunal Kotavadi, 79, and Priyang Patel, 58. Divyang Patel opened the batter, scored 72. And then, I mean, they've also got Mebu Ali. Now, this is Mebu Ali that I know of. He's played a regular level of cricket, I think, played for Wickham House. Very canny left-arm spinner. He took 5, 37. Lanka Lions all out for 91. So, yeah, those guys have been delighted with their end to the season.
Yeah. I mean, and as you say, 284. You're going to win a lot of games when you score 284 runs batting first. Besborough, they've just got to start this late season surge a bit earlier next year. They've had two and two, and they've come through like a juggernaut, but I've just about missed out. Looking at the other end, the Hanwellians will be going down, but they recovered from last week's saga, where they had to concede a game just 20 minutes before it was started because of internal disagreements. So they came through well, didn't they, this week?
How they managed to get 302, a 38.2 good season they had is a fantastic effort from them, isn't it, really?
So many questions.
No one's seen all day. Yeah.
Was it the guys who were arguing with each other last week, or was this a new set of people? Who knows?
Maybe they've made up. Maybe kissed and made up, and everyone's happy, and they're going to look forward to next season now. But yeah, to post that kind of total, I mean, crazy. Mirza Ahmed, 147, which is obviously not a bad knock at all. So they can at least have some positivity going into next season if there is any in that club. I'm sure they need some.
Yeah, I mean, 302 again, you know, bombastic score. So you're going to win a lot of games with that. But they were too far behind, and they are, I think they're getting on for 30 points behind Willow Leather, but I'm sure they'll regroup and fingers crossed they can have a bit more of a positive 2024. Division 5, it's still going to be lifting the pot when it's presented at the annual dinner, right? They've won the title.
Yeah, this is a really good performance, actually. They managed to beat North London Muslims, who've been a strong side this season. Did notice on the scorecard that Imran Muller, the guy who gets all the runs from Muslims, not playing. Mm. So Fabian Farley took 4 for 10, all out for 75, and then the Catalonians reached their target in under 20 overs. So yeah, good win for those guys. Title in the bag. Well done to those, to the club and everyone there who's linked to the guys. And again, this is a real sort of tight at the top, wasn't it? We had two sides sort of going head to head for quite a while here in terms of who wins the title. Pinner challengers finished second, but they're really proud of their points ever amassed. 144 points. Most years will bring you the league title. So,
well, most years it win you the league by a distance, yeah, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Mm. So they can be a bit unfortunate there, but still, yeah, there was some positivity in the fact that they'll be going up into Division 4.
Yeah, you're not going to have any of this did the best two sides go up narrative in this division.
No,
not. They definitely did, because they are, you know, that Pinner are 42 points clear of North London Muslims in third. And when Imran Muller doesn't play, North London Muslims are a different outfit, aren't they?
Yeah. So
I think they'll be pretty pleased with third. But if he's not there, they don't win as frequently as they do when he plays. So well done to them as well. That's an improvement on last season. Now, Sal, take a deep breath. We're going to Division 6.
Yeah, I saw it, Dan. I saw it last night.
And the standings will be in Division 6 next season. They won't be in Division 5.
Beaten comprehensively as well. It's a close run affair. Actually, trouncing here, really.
It was a trouncing, yeah.
Yeah. United Sporting Club, CC. They posted 3-1, 4-9 in their innings. Sounds can put some big scores. They've got a record. Big score, I think, last season, this year. But 164 all out, and it means that United Sporting Club are champions, and will be playing in Division 5, and they'll be drawn by South Harrow, who they picked by 1 point. South Harrow, their game was actually Harrow then conceded Friday night, I think it might have been.
Yep.
They obviously get the points for that, which means that Stallions have blown it, and we have to try again next season. I'm not sure if I'll be supporting them again, because I think 2 years they've let me down.
So. It's been too emotional.
I can't cope, Dan. Too much from Minnesota even. So yeah, Knights Sporting Club, South Harrow. I mean, that was close. 1 point deciding who won the title there. So well done to those two guys.
Yeah, with the standings, it's never dull. You know, quite know what's going to happen. But clearly when they get it right, they're a force of nature. We just couldn't quite get it right in week 18. A couple of games in Division 7, all was already sorted there. But the Desperados definitely came out top in the battle of the top two.
Yeah, I'd be interested in how they go next season, actually. They've had a really strong year this, haven't they? They won the division quite easily, really. I mean, almost, 50-point margin, over 50 points, actually. So, I'd be interested in how they cope in Division 6. Are they one of them sides who, you know, playing a bit too low level than they should be? So, I'll be keeping an eye on those guys next season, see how they progress as the season develops in 2024.
Well, don't get their points total as well, Sal, because they've got 119 points from 12 games.
Yeah.
So, they've basically played every week, right? And won more or less every week. So they've dodged the showers, or maybe they just played through the showers. But that is an impressive total. Had they had an 18-game season, they're on for 200 points.
Yeah, they had won no result. Yeah, so beyond that, they've won 11 games of cricket this year, which is very impressive.
Impressive indeed. Now, in terms of highs and lows for the week, we have no records broken this week in terms of season highs and lows, but definitely a few notable numbers.
Yeah, so Wickham House, 340 for 5 against Enfield in Division 2. The highest and the lowest was Brentford in the same division, 47 all out against Indian Gymkhana.
Yeah, all happening in Division 2 on Saturday in terms of highs and lows. Around the league, there was one score that beat that, wasn't there?
Yeah, K plus for 11, 365 for 9, playing Wychmore Hill's 5th 11, who mustered 193 in response in Division 6A. And again, the lowest score actually in the league was actually Brentford's first 11 against Gymkhana, Division 2.
Yep. So to look at our season records, I mean, these haven't changed for a little bit, because some of them are, you know, not quite in unbeatable territory. But the highest score in the league this year in first-team cricket was Stallions with 434 for 8. That was against Harrow Millennium, who, of course, ultimately went down on the 10th of June. The lowest score in the league, Brentham, who of course had a bit of a nightmare on Saturday with 47. They scored 30. They had an even worse performance against Enfield on the 8th of July. The Stallion score is the highest in any of the 20 plus divisions. There is a worse score than Brentham's 30. That was New Caledonians 2s, who got beat by Bahani seconds way back on the 15th of July. So 4-3-4 the highest, 26 the lowest. You know, there is chalk and cheese in plentiful supply there. Looking beyond the league, there's still some cup action to be talked about. In fact, it's quite interesting cup action ahead next week, right?
Yeah, so it's a finals weekend. The night from Saturday sees the trophy final. Harrow Town are hosting in Gymkhana in that fixture. Play starts at 11 a.m. So if you're in the area, pop down. It should be an intriguing clash. Actually, Gymkhana will be obviously disappointed they haven't got promotion. So can they end the season with a trophy to cap off actually what's been a good year? You know, they've been up there for most of the season. Just dropped away in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but there's some good players in their side, and they'll definitely give Harrow Town a good game. We do know love the Overs format. They're very strong in that kind of format, so it will be a tough one. But you know, Gymkhana have got enough players in their side so you can win them games of cricket. And then the following day on the Sunday, the date's been changed slightly from the Saturday, so the 10th sees the League Cup final. Ealing will be hosting Acton at Ealing. Quick obviously to host him, so that's 11 o'clock start as well. Bit with David versus Goliath fixture here, but I think, you know, Acton have got enough good players in their side to really give you in the game and, you know, even put them under pressure during the day. You know, James O'Neill, Raj Riker, so he'll see himself to captain a few others in the side. Good experience as well, and playing sort of good level of cricket. Eden obviously, could they become the first team to win the same trophy in the same year, which would be an interesting thing to do for those guys. So that's come up. And also looking to the future, yesterday Ealing under 13s played the National T20 final against Didsbury, which you told me is in Manchester Town on that area, at Lords, and they won. So well done to Ealing under 13s. They were chasing 99, 54 for one at one point, and then they collapsed 98 for nine, but they got home. So well done to everyone at Ealing who works with these young players and develops them, and you know, maybe potential superstars within the ranks in that side.
That's fantastic. I didn't realise that the under 13 national final was played at Lord's House. What a great occasion for the kids.
It is great. Yeah, I mean, I did the regionals actually, and I saw some of these guys firsthand. There's some very good players on their side. So, great day out for them, and even better having won the competition.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and Disbury, yeah, that'll be Manchester. That's a decent part of Manchester. And, you know, I'm sure they'll have enjoyed their day, even if they came second. I mean, right, fantastic to be able to walk out and play a proper cup final at Lords when you're 12 or 13 years old. So brilliant stuff. Go back to the cup finals. Where's your money then? Ealing or Acton? Tough one.
I mean, as I said, it seemed
to me like they got a few cup players in there, people who could rise to a big occasion.
So they've definitely got players who can win a game for them. As I said, James O'Neill, when he gets about the joy to watch, him and Ollie Wilkin are very similar actually in how they play. Very aggressive, like to just take teams on and put them on the back foot early on. So if James bats 20 overs or more, then he actually will have a good score. But there's other side in the side as well who can play with his side. He'll the captain, we know about him. Bowling wise, I think they're okay as well. Alex Brennan will hopefully be playing for them as well. So he's a decent spinner. But I think you'll go Ealing, home advantage, just having that extra bit of, I don't know, experience maybe. I mean, it also depends on availability, doesn't it? I know it's on the Sunday, so have some of the sort of players who play overseas gone home? I don't know. But if Ealing have got more or less their first seven now, you would think they should just be a bit too strong for Acton. But as I said, I think that could be quite a close game.
Yeah, my feeling was, you know, looking at the side, you think, well, Ealing are a Premier League club who could have won the league. Didn't quite, but they could have done. They weren't a million miles off, so they've got to be favourites. But I think Acton will be turning up thinking they've got nothing to lose. And my advice to anybody listening is if you're around, if you've not got much on Sunday, then pop down because it could well be a pretty exciting game of cricket. How about Harrow Town Indian Gym?
I'm going to Harrow Town. I run by them a couple of times this year. I've actually done Gymkhana, but I just think Harrow Town, they love this format of cricket. It's what they're really strong at. And they've got, again, Sanjay Mishra, fantastic cricketer, great all-rounder. Decent spin attack as well. I think this their depth might be a difference in terms of they probably bat lower down, have more bowling options, whereas Gymkhana probably have got some excellent players in their side, and we do know that. It's just that they don't have the depth that Harrow Town have as the game goes deep.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call as well. I go Harrow Town as favourites, but Indian Gym, something about a bit of a jack-in-the-box side. Not totally sure what's going to happen with them, but they've got a few players who've got ability to turn in big performances, and I've got a feeling they'll be turning up to win. They'll be up for it.
And yeah, it'll be a good game of cricket.
Absolutely, it will. Good way to end the season. I like this idea.
More positive as well, Dan. So the weather's set fair, I think, for the next few days. So hopefully, good day weather-wise as well.
Yeah, well, it's really good to hear that. The last thing we want is a 10-over shootout, or even worse, an abandonment. So yeah, good way to round off the season. There are other finals out there. There's an MDL final incoming. Is that right?
It's happening today. There's two NBA finals taking place. So you've got the
Rapid. So by the time this is out, then yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Stanmore playing Richmond at the moment, which again goes to show both sides. We've had a great season in terms of senior on the senior front. Stanmore in the league, Richmond coming up. So that goes to show you invest in the young players. It does, you know, come up trumps in the end. And the Shield, which is like the sort of plate version of it. I think Barnes are coming playing Hampton. So next week we should have an idea who won these and we can report back.
Cool. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on those. Moving forward with the podcast. So we obviously won't be chatting every week about all things cricket, but the plan is to have probably maybe one podcast a month through the winter. Is that right?
Yeah, I think next week we'll probably try and get someone from Stanmore on. Maybe it'd be nice to have someone from Stanmore on who can talk about the season. And then after that, we'll try and sort of progress once a month during the winter.
Yeah, and if people have ideas about things they might like to hear us banging on about, then hit us with them. You know, we're open to all suggestions, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely get in touch. I mean, it's great. We had some great feedback last week from last week's pod. I was even told about by one of the fellow umpires about one of the regs I didn't read up on properly, which is always good. So it's always good to remind about certain things. So yeah, as I said, we'll keep chipping away during the winter and then normal service will resume back in April.
Fantastic. And I take a deep breath in asking this, but your Saturday afternoons, the next 34 weeks, I guess the next week may well perhaps involve a cup final, maybe.
Yeah, Dan, it's getting a bit grim.
Does IKEA beckon?
Could be actually the one I used to go to is closed now. They're opening one in Oxford Street, so I might have to pop that one instead. But yeah, if the weather's okay, that's fine. That's when the weather gets grim. I'm not a big fan of grim weather, and that's when the doom and gloom sets in.
It feels 34 weeks. That feels like a very, very long time.
How many it is, Dan? Okay.
Yeah, it is till the league season starts again. But we will get through it, I'm sure. And as I say, if folks have got ideas about things they want to listen to on the pod, then hit us with them. Are you standing again this season, Sal? You got any more appointments?
I might do the odd friendly here and there, but in terms of anything I've been sort of asked to do, I'm done now. The league is now over, as I said. I've had a good season as well, so just thanks to all my colleagues I've stood with and all the clubs have been really hospitable. Get well looked after yesterday. A load of pizzas given to me, which is great. John Reid was there supplying me copious amounts of pizza.
I can John Reid supplying pizza, never.
Yeah, and I love. Yeah, he was there. He's good. I mean, I just want to say, actually, Acton, they've done a great job at that pavilion. I know the work.
Oh, I've not seen it.
It's great. It's a great pavilion. The work, and we talked to Sahil about yesterday, and the money they've had to sort of like raise, and it's a great facility there. So they've done really well. So I'm really happy they've got that set up there. And they said they had a good night, the guys, last night. So yeah, as I said, thanks to everyone who's looked after me this year. Every game we go to, get players mentioning the pod, umpires and spectators talking about it. So doing a good job, Dan. And again, also Eugene as well. I think behind the scenes, no one knows what he does, but he does an immense part of work, load of work that no one knows about. I mean, that me and you know about, Dan, I suppose.
Yeah.
And also during the walk, he did it during the walk, which is a fantastic effort as well. So,
well, you beat me to it there. I was going to say, it's me and you do the talking, but Eugene Berger produces every single one of these podcasts, including when he's walking over to Pennines and listening to us and doing the editing while he's on the move. I mean, this is ridiculous level of commitment. So fair play to Eugene Berger from Twickenham for all the efforts he puts in and to the league for supporting us in our endeavours, really.
I mean, the league ties and committee does so much work, again, that people are not aware of. We're not even aware of it, I suppose. There's two people who have a podcast about it. So lots of people in that committee who work tirelessly during the season to make sure we get the game get played and everything's run properly. So, you know, well done to those guys as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sal, go well then in the remaining sort of post-season games that you're umpiring, and we'll touch base next week and hear about these cup finals.
Definitely, Dan. Take it. Enjoy LA.
Okay. Cheers, mate. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.